And we are back with Flow Therapy. This is Coco with Frank Nitti, and we are here with Willisa Bennett. We are so happy to have her in the studio, and we've been talking about her new blog. And tell us where we left off. We were talking about your blog. Continue to tell us.
It's WillisaBennett.com, but it's easier to Google rantings from the red carpet and then look for Willisa Bennett. I mean, it's going to come up rantings on various things, but just look for WillisaBennett.com.
We're going to be looking for that.
Yeah.
We are definitely going to be looking for that. And earlier in the show, we were talking about Donald Sterling, and the one thing I wanted to go back to was the actual response to what happened, and that was Adam Silver taking. What did you think about that? Because I thought it was really interesting. And on another note, just after that, Larry Elder and what his response was to Adam Silver taking responsibility.
Well, first of all, we have to commend Adam Silver, because the man wasn't even on the job for 90 days. You know, that's the trial period. You know, that's the trial period where they gonna let you know whether you can stay
or
not.
Exactly.
You know, when your insurance kicked in. His insurance probably had not even kicked in yet. And he's like, oh, man, I got to deal with this. Ah!
And he knew they were looking.
Yeah, but, you know, as I said in a story that I wrote, he had to take a stand because the rallies in North in LA had already started.
Yes.
And the last thing you want are a bunch of black people in LA turned up.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
You don't want that.
And that was they were getting there.
And the thing too, you know, when the players were threatening to boycott, they like, no, now we really got a problem.
Yeah. Yeah,
so I think the problem really hit when the sponsors all was like, when that was like the sponsors. I think that's when the NBA. I mean,
I
agree with you to a certain degree,
yeah.
But I think when the sponsors were like, you know what, we're out of this, then the players, if the players had just did that and the sponsors had stayed, I don't know if it would have been the same.
Yeah, but when Adidas left, I mean, no tennis shoes for the guys. Yeah. Like, oh my God, what they gonna wear?
And all that money.
You know, because at the end, it is a business.
It is, exactly.
So, but I'm, and you know, the funny thing is, that will be what he'll forever be remembered for.
Yes.
Yep.
You know, it's like, whatever else he does, it will be important, but he'll always be remembered for,
taking that stand.
But what about the NAACP?
Oh, girl.
That was the next thing we were going to bring up with you.
Like, what, y'all don't get the LA Times? Y'all don't Google? Y'all don't,
No, here's the thing. Y'all don't read?
What I don't understand is, one, how did they already honor him in 2009? And is this just me? But he already received the Lifetime Achievement Award from the NAACP in 2009. Why do you get a second one, and why him?
What? I mean, there weren't any more white billionaires they could ask. I mean, like,
personally, I'm with the petition. Did you see the petition going around to have the head of NAACP Los Angeles chapter to resign? I'm with that.
He resigned.
He resigned last night, I think it was.
And then he was trending because he needed a makeover.
Somebody.
You know? So if he calls you, you're going to handle him? You're going to be his client if he calls you?
No.
You sure?
No. I'm positive.
Okay.
Like, not all good money. This is what I learned in business.
Say it.
Not all good money is good money.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
No, that you are you are right.
That
you
would be
right.
An example of not good money.
No.
Very true. Very true.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I did not understand. And the thing about it was, I think it was earlier this week, before he resigned, before they even talked about him resigning, I saw a video where he was responding.
Right.
And I was like, who is this guy that they have? I mean, he couldn't put the words together. It just, I was sitting there what?
I mean, he looked like a flashback.
It was, somebody compared him to Pootie Tang.
Like, I'm like, excuse me, Mr. Jenkins, do you realize you're going to be on national television? Not cable access?
Gave me hope to run for the NAACP.
It was bad.
Come on. But see, this is how I know y'all probably say, dang, she critical. But
no, you gotta be.
No.
You have to be.
This is what I look at every single day.
You have to be.
That is serious. And that's when I was just listening and I was like, seriously, he is the head?
Like, if he's the head.
Wow.
Like, ooh.
That was amazing to me. But then, I mean, I was really glad that he stepped down. And Lorraine Miller, I've heard great things about her. So I really hope that they, you know, things go in a better direction. But
is that who's taking over?
She's right now. She's the interim president.
Well, I hope she at Bloomingdale's getting some outfits.
Wow.
Because Leon Jenkins did not make a good impression.
No, he did not.
And there is no second chances to make a good impression.
That was really bad.
Yeah.
But you know, another thing that gets me is now Larry Elder, and I think he was from Fox News, but he stepped up and said that he disagreed. They went too far.
Oh, yeah.
With what's going on. That, you know,
I think this was, if I quote him correctly from what I read, he says the man said he didn't want black people at his games or in pictures with his girlfriend, and for that he lose his team. Correct? Mm. Yes, Larry. Like, racism have a price.
Yes.
Mm. You can, listen, this is America. You can be racist. You can be whatever you want to be. Mm. But understand that racism have a price. Now, can we cue Paula Deen?
She was so serious when she said that.
If you do and say racist thing, it will catch up with you. Yes. And it's going to have a price. And for this billion-dollar man,
yes,
he gets the chance to lose his reputation. Well, he already had a shoddy reputation.
Yes.
But in his case, he actually get to make a profit.
Mm. Right, right.
But he don't get to be a owner, which is kind of like a white man's kind of like their trophy to have a basketball team.
Yes.
Yeah, but see, the big thing is, too, because the team is taken away from him, he can't pass it down to his kids. That's the thing.
Oh, see?
Thank you. That's the thing. Because they take ownership away from him because, you know, owners of his age and status, they say, okay, I'm going to pass it down like the guy who owns the Giants.
And remember, he's dying.
So now that's why he's fighting it. That's why he's fighting it, because he has a son. Oh, his son got killed, was it a year ago?
A year ago.
So he has a son. He has another, I think he has a daughter. But he wanted to leave, obviously, the legacy. And let's be honest, the franchise, he bought it for $12 million.
It's worth
$900 million now?
Dang. It's crazy. No, what he needs to do is just go ahead and set everybody up for a trust fund.
Yeah.
Because he ain't getting that team.
No.
He's still, you know, as much as I hate to say this, he's still winning. You know?
Oh, well, no. This is what I put in my blog. I said, is he winning or losing? And I said, depends on what the cost of a reputation is.
That's true.
Exactly.
That's true.
Exactly.
But now let's be honest. He's dying. You know,
he's dying.
Now, his reputation, his legacy forever and a day will always be known as this.
Yeah.
He won't be known as the Clippers owner who did all these things. He'll be always known as
the racist billionaire slumlord.
Now, and the worst part about this is, like I tell my kids all the time, she's a witness. You have to really realize what you're doing, because your last name means something to other people. And mm-hmm. if somebody does something like Benedict Arnold, everybody who's an Arnold from that point after, they hate their last name because it travels with them.
Yeah. It doesn't. Listen, this is a man that's got $1 billion in the bank, and I got a better reputation than him.
Right.
Exactly.
And that's the point.
So it just depends.
Mm-hmm. And that's the point.
I think there's a Bible verse, like Proverbs, you know, someone who has a sterling reputation, that's more than money in the bank.
Yeah. That's true.
Well, I say all the time that, and I said it, she's, you know, you got to be careful about your reputation, because it goes, spans through generations.
It's generational.
Now, I say he's winning in one sense.
Only business.
Right. That's what I mean by business.
Dollars and cents.
Dollars and cents.
Yes. Dollars and cents.
And being where the economy is going right now, I mean, that's very vitally important.
I mean, would I want to have $500 million dollar profit?
Oh, of course.
Yes.
I need to try to find me a $12 million deal somewhere and watch it fester.
Yeah. And that makes perfect sense. But, you know, but anyway, here's a question for you.
Yeah.
Because you kind of touched on it a little bit.
Yes.
If a client of yours comes through, matter of fact, before I even say that part, you know a situation that's coming or the storm, you see the storm that's coming in. You already said no money is good money. Is there something that could make you say, you know, I'll try to help you because it's 50-50? You know what I mean? I say 50-50. I mean, like the audience, it's not like so like the Sterling where everybody knows he's racist. Will you help a person in a situation whereas the issue is so divided where, you know, people could be A or B?
I'm going to be honest with you. Like, I worked with NeNe Leakes for like 3 years.
NeNe Leakes, reality star.
And I cannot even begin to tell you how many many people would call me and say, well, Lisa, why are you representing her? Mm-hmm. And because, mm-hmm. you know, of what the whole stereotype and everything for black women. But we had a goal with Nene.
Yeah.
And I looked at her. First of all, she was very loyal, you mm-hmm. know, and I'm a big loyal person. Mm-hmm. She mm-hmm. was extremely loyal, but that mainstream crowd loved her.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Loved her. And if somebody is promotable,
mm-hmm.
and like, you have to understand, reality stars are cast in a role.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You people know, don't know that.
Like, people don't know that.
Right.
That she's cast in a role and she played her part.
Mm-hmm.
And for that, there were certain things that were happening and popping for her. You just have to, at the end of the day, and I'll never forget this, that when I first came to L.A. and I had a consultant job with this, in fact, he was Jewish, as a matter of fact, and I'll never forget the best advice he gave me. He says, well, Lisa, he says, this town only cares about winning.
Mm-hmm.
I said, he says, now how you win is between you and the mirror.
Mm.
And I have never forgotten that.
Good
you
point.
Know,
that
his
is.
Name is Matt Gertz, and I've told him on LinkedIn. I always quote him and all that stuff. But that was like the best advice. So I've taken my time mm-hmm. because at the end of the day, not only do I have to look at myself in the mirror, but then I got to go home to
right.
North Carolina, my people,
right.
and
very
da
true.
Da right. da. So at the end of the day, it's like if my family is excited about me working with Nene, I'm mm-hmm. excited too. You know what I'm saying? And you know, and I enjoy working with her, you know, because I watch the show and all mm-hmm. that stuff. So I just think you just have to decide on the look in the mirror.
Yes, that's true.
You
that's
know,
true.
Like mm-hmm. if you can wake up and feel good about yourself and have a cup of tea or orange juice
right.
will get your day started, then you're good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know?
You're right.
It's
right.
a good point. See, because she and I had a conversation this week, and without saying any names, we had a conversation, and I don't know how do I put this. The thing is this. When a person knows that you are a publicist, and then the person says, well, I'm not, they don't value your worth the way it should be valued.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? How do you cope? You don't mind me saying this,
no.
do you?
No.
How do you cope with a person who doesn't value, and even though you know your value is here, and I can't even show the people because they
right,
can't see me,
right.
but let's just say I'm holding my
he's
hand
holding
up.
His hands up over his head.
Right.
And he's tall. He's like 6 feet.
So in your whole, you yeah. know your value is here, but the person thinks your value is at your wayside, any wayside.
Well,
how do you differentiate to try to get a person to say, okay, you may think I'm here at waist level, mm-hmm. but I'm already here
right.
and I'm not where I was. Because I'm here, I am. You, the thing
okay.
is people always look at you, no matter what your light is and how far you're going to come, people look at you as if you still was where you were 3 years ago,
right.
5 years ago, 10 years ago. How do you handle that?
First of all, there is a famous quote by Rene Descartes that says, I think, therefore I am.
Ah. Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So you already got to, when you walk into a room, you already got to know who you are.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Now, if you're going to give somebody a deal, you tell them, I'm giving you a deal,
mm-hmm.
you know? But we all, I learned a very valuable lesson within the last year. Sometimes as creative people, because, you know, L.A. is a very creative time, sometimes you enjoy doing the project more than the people you work with.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Like Coco, sometimes
yes.
you love your job so much if it just wasn't for the client.
Yes.
Like, this would be the best job.
This would
ever,
be the best job ever.
I mean, all publicists feel that way, that sometimes you just want to kill the clients because
yes.
they don't listen, whatever. And sometimes you take on projects because you love the project so much, even though you want to kill the client.
Yes.
You know, and I learned the best, you know, I just learned sometimes you can devalue your own self.
Right.
And I did that. I devalued.
I've done that before.
I devalued my own self for the love of a project. And when you do that and the client knows you're doing that,
yes.
then they feel like they can just treat you any old kind
yes.
of way.
Yes, yes.
But,
that's
you know,
it.
So I had to step out of that situation
mm-hmm.
and say, I tell you what, adios.
See ya.
Yeah, you know, adios.
Yeah.
And I learned that because you always, at the end of the day, and I'm still saying this, you know, I'm 49 years old. I'm still learning, constant learning.
Mm-hmm.
You always have to know your worth. When
you
walk
do.
In the door.
You do. And when you do not know that and you settle for something, you are putting yourself in a situation that you really don't want to be in.
And let me tell you, I read this about Michael Jordan. I read that he, you know, was so highly competitive that he would even try to beat his mom at checkers. But one of the things that I read about him, that he was always willing to walk away from a deal.
Mm-hmm.
And so now when I walk into a room, it can be lollipops and gumdrops.
Yes.
But if they ain't giving me some Twizzlers too, I got to be ready to walk away. Yes. So you always have to know what your what you will settle for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's the model that she's known for changing her hair color all the time? She would always say, "I don't get out of bed less than 12,000 a day."
Mm.
And I could appreciate that because she knew her worth.
Right.
Like, if you're talking about 10,000, oh, I'm oversleeping. Now, when y'all get up to 12,000, then wake me up. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And you can appreciate.
I like that.
Linda Evangelista.
I like that.
That was one of her famous quotes, like, that she didn't get out of bed for less than 12,000.
I like that.
And so that's how you have to go into every gig, like, walking in, like, okay, this is the bare minimum. This is, I work with people all the time, you know, I'm a PR consultant. Mm-hmm. I work with small businesses, so they're not going to have big budgets mm-hmm. like everybody else. But you're not going to work a nerve either.
Right.
like
you're getting the deal and you're working the nerve.
Like, when you get the deal and working the nerve, one of us got to go.
Right. That is the absolute truth.
Exactly.
That is the absolute
truth. Do you
truth.
Feel like that sometimes?
I do.
Like, sometimes, like, do. This is the best job if it wasn't for the client.
She feels like that a lot.
And it's frustrating because you want to do your very best, but they are on that last good nerve. I mean, and it's like, it's so serious.
Exactly.
It's very frustrating.
Exactly.
It's very frustrating.
Sometimes it can be frustrating, but you have to manage expectations. The job is not the creative one, what we do. If the job is managing the talent and the clients mm-hmm. and their expectations.
Yes.
Like, no, you can't be on Oprah tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly.
No, you're not going to be in the Wall Street
but
Journal.
But let's take A, B, and C steps to make sure
we can get
you there. All right now.
Yeah.
That's how it works.
No, they want to come in. They want the mountaintop. They want the mountaintop. Like, you
I'm
can't
sorry,
start
right now, we're in the valley.
We're in the valley. You can't start at the mountaintop. Sorry.
Boy, do we know that one, huh?
Hey, oh, my
yes,
goodness.
It just so, does not work
you know,
that way.
People need to be realistic in their goals.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. It takes a lot to be that. And
you know, I'm amazed at how unrealistic people can be, though.
Yeah. And the thing is, hey, I am all for getting you there. I am for getting you there.
You
know what
I
mean?
There.
That I believe I can do it. But
I can get you there, but it's just not going to be tomorrow.
It's going to take some work. I need your patience.
Exactly.
You all listening to another edition of Flow Therapy with Lisa Bennett, Coco, Frank Diddy here. We'll be right back.